And there's some good cutting. I mean, there's actually some good dialogue, and there's some good editing that's happening here. You know,
oh, there's some sequence. Really... There is some really good editing in the movie.
Yeah, period.
Not just necessarily this scene, but...
Mm-hmm.
But you really notice it in this scene.
Yeah.
Movie.
Yeah. I remember hearing a few laughs about that.
I like that line.
No,
not necessarily saying it's a bad line, but sort of an ironic,
mm-hmm.
somewhat. Yeah, I don't know if ironic's the best term, but you know, it's something a lot of people would say about you know the Senate.
This is a cruel Samuel Jackson laid back moment. No, yeah. I'm not betraying like of yours. Yeah, not gonna happen.
And if it were a Quentin Tarantino movie, you'd be saying something completely different. But I love that. If Cloud of this boy's future is it's a great Yoda line. Just the fact that you know he's using the Force, that's just, oh gosh, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do not care that this is a puppet. I mean, I'm feeling every moment of this
mm-hmm.
performance by Frank Oz. Just the fact that that is, in fact, Frank Oz performing that puppet makes this extremely special.
Yeah,
I feel the tension in this scene, too, to a certain degree. There's some tension. I mean, I didn't pick up on it, obviously, until, like, you know, like the fourth or fifth time I saw this.
Right.
But there is some tension here that is pretty believable. And pretty mm-hmm. palpable. You know, I mean, everyone's getting a shaft here, and you know, you feel everyone's, you know, disappointment
mm-hmm.
to a degree. You know, just and a lot of it has to do with the fact that it's done. A lot of it is done with looks,
right?
Yeah,
and facial expressions, and not as much of it is done with dialogue. So I'm off my high horse now. Another great line from the trailer.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, I mean, we... Dave will never live down the day that he downloaded that trailer for me and showed me how to... And, you know, here we have, for the first time, established the concept of what midichlorians are. Which works.
Yeah.
It works.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I do remember some criticisms about the idea of sort of something biological, I guess, being responsible for the Force as opposed to something a little more spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
I do remember some criticism about that. And I kind of agree with it, but, I mean, at the same time, I mean...
Yeah, I mean, it kind of goes... I mean, that's a decision that's up to the author, you know?
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, you just kind of roll with it, how they decide to define the physics of their world, you know?
Mm. That's the better word, actually.
Yeah.
But,
I like this moment. I like this exchange.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And then...
yeah,
we had it great up until that.
We had a really wonderful exchange there between Natalie Portman and Liam Neeson.
Yeah, that
and
was
then,
great. I mean, he could have left one of those Jar Jar stupid moments out, and that was one he could have just left out. Come on.
And then, on top of it, it's complemented by a wonderful Jake Lloyd moment, so...
Come on, R2.
Let's go.
Let's blow this joint.
Sit here.
the plan.
The exposition.
Yeah.
It could have been worse.
It could have been.
It really could have been.
Lisa, Your Highness?
Okay, we're on.
Okay. So we're about to find out what the hell Jar Jar has been doing here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's, and this seems a little bit too convenient. The fact that, you know, it's just one control ship there.
Well,
right now.
The thing is, it's like,
I know that the,
like an armada there.
The planet is now completely overran by battle droids, yes. But, you know, it almost seems a little bit like, you know, okay, you know, just like, you know, yeah, we just, the Federation, yeah, the Federation is, in fact, you know, not too bright. But, you know, this just almost completely dumbfounds them. You know, it's like, you know, oh, yeah, we just, you know, it's...
Well, I mean, it's kind of like one Star Destroyer, I mean, one Death Star, you know,
yeah.
One, you know.
Yeah.
Well, that was almost, that was, I don't know, I fell for that.
No,
episode
no, no, no,
four,
yeah,
I
yeah.
fell for that.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know.
But I mean, it wasn't because there was an armada of Death Stars, and then
mm-hmm.
now we're down one. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. So I totally feel you on that, Hayes. I totally feel you.
You know, it's kind of like, and you believed in episode four. You believed just how confident the Empire was to have just only one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this, but you know, but here you know the. The Trade Federation just almost seems just a little too, well,
Someone was just really stupid.
What is it with you and I, Dave? We're usually the level-headed.
No.
Or you're at least one of the level-headed ones.
This entire scene for me was a little painful.
You know,
because,
I think,
because,
you know...
Because
I can't believe that's Keira Knightley right there, again.
I mean, it's about to come up where, you know, supposedly she's, you know, she's got a decoy or whatever. I never felt the gravity of that.
Neither did I.
Well, I mean,
come on. It's just...
How can you not know who Natalie
right.
Portman is?
Right, yeah, exactly.
That's one of those things where it's like, just logic just sort of overrides any possible derails, any possible suspense from this
right.
sequence.
Right.
It's like...
I mean, I'm not in shock.
I buy the fact that
what?
She's about to, I buy the fact that she's about to kick ass, but
right.
I mean,
are you saying the entire time?
Oh, come on.
Exactly. See, this
you're
is
kidding me.
Point exactly.
No way.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. There
you
go. We're still hard to
She's trying, and she's way too good of an actress to not try.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
you're correct, exactly correct in that, Brian. And she was trying, and you could tell. Man, her dialogue sucked, but she was trying.
The animation on Boss Nass, though, is
just
brilliant.
Oh God,
yes. I mean, that's great stuff happening. Right?
The animation's spectacular. I like hearing that. I mean, I don't know the story word for word, obviously, and I mean, I'm not going to try and repeat it because
you could have fooled me.
No one wants to listen to me talk more than you know a few minutes on here, obviously. But I really enjoyed Rick McCallum's story about how he and George Lucas found the voice artist for Boss Nass. It's pretty enjoyable. I can't remember the name of the voice artist off the top of my head, but
he did a great job.
He did.
Yeah.
I mean, what is everyone's thoughts on the commentary?
I think it's a pretty good. It's a fascinating technical commentary.
Oh yes, yes.
I mean, does it go into as much detail as far as the story is concerned? That Star Wars fan.
Well, George Lucas part of the commentary does. I do. But
not necessarily, but at the same time, it's like, you know, the technical aspects are what's more important there. Mm-hmm. And no, I think it's a pretty good commentary.
I never really noticed the ruins that are around there. Like,
I do like the idea of that.
Well, it's a sacred.
Giving some history to the actual world.
Yeah.
You know, like there were probably inhabitants here before, and you know, they had statues or whatever. I'm down with that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Send them on.
Okay. That's just an absurd idea, really. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, I mean, you really have to wonder about how well...
That's an absurd idea.
Know,
that was meant to be comic relief. But just
you really have to wonder what Boss Nass is thinking at that moment. I mean, I know he's a CG character, but God, man.
Yeah.
Jar Jar? That's like him becoming a senator. How the hell did that happen? I guess he's technically not a senator, though. In episode 2.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he seems more like Padme's assistant.
Right.
But...
Well, I like the fact that, you know, he's part of what, you know, brings these two cultures together. I mean,
he works
on that level.
I like it. Yeah. That, like,
and that's,
said,
and that's explored even more in episode 2, which makes it that much more interesting.
Well, like I said, I mean, that scene where he's talking to, where he's being sympathetic to Padme and telling her about the Gungans, I mean, there's a reason that's my favorite scene
right.
with him.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
And because of the fact that you really do buy the fact that it's like, he does have a role in this as far as bringing these two together, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, I completely buy that, but at the same time, it's like, leader of a military? Crying out loud? I mean, I know they're just supposed to be a diversion, but...
That's a cool little thing, right?
Yeah, it is.
Right, that's pretty cool.
I was going to say something about it earlier, but
George Lucas really loved writing that line, wipe them out.
He must have. We heard it in every trailer.
Yeah. This is great.
Yeah.
This is, I mean...
And it's reminiscent of something, but I can't remember which movie.
I think, is it mentioned in the commentary?
No, but I've heard it. I don't think so, but I've heard it mentioned so many times it's not even funny.
That's just, yeah. That's just cool.
Right.
Again, you know, I like the Gungans, and I mean...
No, I mean the overall idea of the civilization, how it was sort of primitive, yet advanced, kind of, sort of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's just... I mean, that's just more great ideas.
Yeah.
Just coming out of a well of great ideas.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, there's no shortage of great ideas in this movie.
Not at all.
At least in terms of the technical,
right.
You know, technology and stuff that you see in it. But this is a pretty epic.
I always wonder if that grass is real or is that grass animated?
I would imagine it's animated.
Is that grass animated?
I would too.
That's absolutely amazing. And
yeah.
It's like showing off right there. That's just disgusting, but it's showing off. That's amazing. That's,
I don't know.
That's
I mean,
to do.
Yeah, no, it could be real, but something tells me it's CG.
Yeah, and that's not easy to do.
Okay, here we get to see Padme just kick butt.
Mm.
And
unfortunately, though, it's probably, in my opinion, one of the weaker aspects of the end battle.
Mm. Again...
Everyone says, you know, well, I mean, obviously, you know...
This whole thing sort of reeks of coincidence and...
Yeah.
Right.
You know, just sort of happy accidents occurring.
Yeah, and I mean, she never quite.
That's not even just her part. It's also the Gungan part. And
right.
I like the Gungan part.
And you know what
personally,
Anakin does. I mean, it's all very. It really has a very accidental feel to it.
But then again, I mean, that is Star Wars. You know, the whole coincidental, accidental type thing, kind of, sort of.
Yeah, but you don't really feel it in the original
You
ones.
Don't. I mean,
right.
You do feel
you
in the original trilogy
really,
as
you
if...
You do feel... It's heroic when Han Solo
that's
comes
true,
back and helps Luke.
That's true. I mean,
there's
like
it's
something
heroic.
And I feel, like, you know, at the end of every battle sequence in the original trilogy, you feel as if you've been through a honest-to-God conflict.
Exactly.
I do feel like that.
you know, it's so much more heroic than this part is. I mean, I'll happily admit the fact that I do enjoy this sequence, but
that's pretty bro.
They're showing off right there. That's not easy to do either.
Starting to hear a bit of the Duel of the Fates
a little bit, yeah.
Music.
Those blasters are taken right out of Flash Gordon.
I think a lot of this was probably taken right out of Flash Gordon.
Yeah, this space battle is definitely the weakest aspect of this end conflict.
Yeah, most definitely.
And it's not just Anakin either. A lot of it does have to do with Jake Lloyd as Anakin, but right. I mean,
it's just not well written. I mean, we got it's so many battles going on, and that was
well. They did the same thing in Jedi too.
They did.
Right.
I mean, they did the same thing in Jedi.
There was a ground battle. There was a space battle. There was a inner turmoil kind of conflict kind of battle.
Yeah,
you know.
Right.
And it worked.
Yeah, it worked in that one more than it worked in this one.
It does.
Yeah.
But, but again, no shortage of good ideas. I mean, because, you know, we get to see sort of the immensity of the droid army, you know, because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, they just open it up and they just keep coming.
And the creativity of the Gungans.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because there are some great ideas in, as far as what the Gungans use.
Mm-hmm. You know, and, I mean, and for the Gungans... You know, the guys standing with a row of shields, and, you know, the guys, the artillery shooting behind, you know, that's more of a middle-age fighting technique, battle formation type thing. So,
and say what you will about this line right here. I like that line. Mm. Say what you want about that line. You know, again, it's very much along the lines of what mm-hmm. I've been saying about the Gungans is that, you know, they've got that kind of like childlike kind of quality to them, but at the same time, you know, they're...
Yeah. Well, we just passed up a line a while back, actually, now that I think about it, where Jar Jar says, steady, steady. And it's like, all I could think of was Braveheart.
Yeah.
And,
the comic relief in this sequence...
No, it's terrible.
Oh. It's
terrible.
Just not... It's the first time it's kind of amusing.
Mm-hmm.
What I thought was cool was the idea that, you know, they couldn't shoot through the shield, but they could walk through the shield. Just kind of like,
yeah.
Their city is...
Well, that's more or less the idea behind how Anakin gets onto the control ship, isn't it?
Not really.
Well, we're obviously going to get to that in a moment, but you know, we're probably going to talk about that until we're blue in the face.
So now we have the introduction of Darth Maul.
Which, this completely badass fight between these three.
Yeah, this is a good fight,
Who remembers seeing the double-bladed lightsaber in the trailer and just thinking, ah?
Yeah, that is pretty sweet. I mean, that was a great idea.
Double-bladed lightsaber.
You got to do something, R2.
Well, that's good stuff.
Intercut with... Which is intercut with this.
Oops.
Oh, yeah, I knew that all along. Yeah, that's it.
Maybe this one. Oh, hey, that's the cockpit. Cool, because I just turned on the ship. Oh, wait, maybe the thing with the red button fires the lasers. I don't know. Goodness.
Of course it is.
Yes.
And of course, R2.
Like I said, this thing reeks with happy accidents.
Come on, your helmet. Here we go. Okay, back to the genius. That move right there, sweet.
Oh,
and
yeah.
This entire thing.
Anger right there.
Yeah. That's what the look and the throw behind his back.
And the music.
That's good stuff.
Oh, my God.
That's good stuff.
Music. Genius.
I mean, the music is brilliant. I mean, this is one of his, like, best pieces, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Is ever, period. I mean, this is good stuff right here. It's a perfect fight scene. And they do show in the documentary him saying that, you know, he wants sort of a religious sounding something or rather, you know, to the back of this fight. And I mean, for John Williams to take that sort of description and then come back and be this is amazing.
Well, the thing is, it's like he rarely, it really seemed like he, what, he never, he rarely used choral music in any of his scores. And
particularly
this
Star Wars.
Really starts him, start him to where, you know, you would later hear it on AI and some other stuff where it does choral stuff.
It's like you we're in an actual battle here.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And then
we're in an actual battle. And then stupidity to beautiful Brian.
Again.
Beautiful.
Intercut with which is intercut with
just
which it's a fun concept, but it's a fun idea, but
yeah, this is almost, I mean, compared to episode 4, this is almost too spectacular. It's not as emotionally involving, nearly as emotionally involving as episode 4 was.
No, not even close.
I mean, I'm just
not even close.
I mean, all the I'm in complete awe of the visuals, but it's and it's but it's totally overwhelming what you're supposed to be feeling. And I'm ultimately disappointed with this aspect of the end battle.
Mm-hmm. That's a good trick.
What the fuck? Like I said, he's a kid with a new toy. Oh, I'm gonna have to get those windows replaced.
Get cool. She shot out a perfect square, though. That's what I was
like. Not a perfect square. No, you can see the ones up
right.
A bit higher up.
I thought that looked a little cheesy. I mean, that.
Yeah. I remember thinking that was pretty neat, though.
Yeah, but wow, so unspectacular after all the jingle. Back to my boys here. Back to my boys.
Yeah.
What type of environment is this supposed to be?
Generator room, something around?
It looks inspired by the Emperor's chamber in episode.
A little bit.
But it's also a little more expensive.
Empire Strikes Back.
That is, in my opinion, a much better reference.
That is a much better reference.
Is the Cloud City environment.
Because this looks like something where, you know, something mechanical goes on and stuff like that.
I cannot believe I've never thought of that before. That is a really good.
There's a bit of tension in all this.
Not as much as you'd like, but
you got all this quick stuff, and then you got the waiting, and then
that was pretty cool to stop the entire fight, and now he's waiting.
Yeah,
you know he's doing this prayer thing, and he's just waiting to kill people. Shield's gone. Gotta go. There's really nothing to say.
No, it's kind of leaves you kind of speechless.
There's really nothing to say.
That's one of my favorite piece of animation.
I really like that animation. Not that one, but
no,
yeah,
his reaction.
We were talking about
his reaction,
like, where he. Yeah.
Now this I actually fall for.
don't see why, you know, once they saw the effect of what those random ball things could do, like, you know, they just wouldn't release them on all their things, you know, just everybody just release your stuff, you're dead anyway, just throw your stuff out there, roll. Mm-hmm.
I almost believe this.
This scene was kind of stupid.
Yeah.
Throw your bomb. I don't have a bomb. It's obvious the boy doesn't have a bomb because he's sitting on, you know, a tank. So, that was, I mean, this is just pretty cool computer graphics right there. I mean, that's just pretty sweet.
You almost do feel a certain amount of peril here.
Almost.
Yeah,
almost. For a brief couple of seconds.
For about 2 seconds, yes. But there is... I like that, the bass drum as they all draw their... Yeah,
I
like that.
I think that's more timpani.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
Well, I'm not a music major, so... I'd like to think I know a thing or two about music, but I don't. I just like
it. Yeah, see, I mean, okay, how does he get through the shield when nobody else can? It's like... He just happens to land in front of the thing that needs to be destroyed.
That's true. I mean, you really don't like any coincidences at all.
I mean, like I said, like, oh. Good. The more, it's one of those things where the more you think about it, the more you're like, why?
Why, God, why?
Yeah, my boy's back up.
Here we go.
Boy, this quite make
a thing. You know what? Surprisingly enough, this is the most emotionally involving aspect of the end.
Yeah, it really is.
You know,
even though you kind of figured Qui-Gon kicks it.
Right.
And actually, they gave that away in the soundtrack with one of the titles.
That was like one of the first things I remember. Like there being some controversy over how much of the story is revealed before audiences' reaction.
I really did make a conscious effort to avoid reading spoilers on this movie.
Yeah,
and then well, that failed miserably.
I think it's kind of cool how Darth Maul just like kills one, just like hooks up, and just ready to kill
and
another.
Quite brutally, too. I mean. Yeah.
I thought that was a super funny moment.
Yeah, well. Yeah.
He knows I'm not laughing.
Hence the pseudo.
This
I remember Dave. Yeah. I remember you and I discussing like how "quote unquote" shocking this moment was.
Yeah, it's kind of cool because you know, okay, yeah, you weren't fooled by the whole decoy stupid thing, you know, to begin
but
with.
But at the same time, they could be.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and you know, I mean, the whole decoy idea actually works.
It pays off to a degree. Yeah,
I'm just amazed at that. And it was pretty surprising, which is good.
Well, I say quote unquote just because I thought I remember you and I discussing that this just it wasn't as
that this is awesome.
Yeah,
this scene between them.
I remember just the commentary. I mean, Rick McCallum George Lucas just nearly isn't as charismatic about you know the idea of. Talking about this is George Lucas is, and I just remember Rick McCallum mentioning how into it these two were.
Right, yeah.
You know, filming this scene.
Ray Park, we should mention, played a Darth Maul.
And,
would later
and
do
Toad.
Toad in X-Men.
X-Men. Mm-hmm. And the Headless Horseman in Sleepy Hollow.
Well, partially the Headless Horseman.
Well, he's the Headless Horseman for all the action anyway.
Yeah.
All the physical stuff.
Yeah. The character was also played by Christopher Walken.
Well, that was the thing, though. I mean, like, Christopher Walken got all the credit for that part, and Ray Park got absolutely none, which he deserved most of it, I thought. I mean, it's great as...
See, how does he get power?
You hear R2 make a sound, and then you almost feel like R2 has something to do with it. But.
The ship overheats, and now the ship's calmed down.
Seeing what he does in the first three movies, yeah, I can buy it.
Yeah.
Oops. I mean, come on.
Oh, man. This is just
terrible. Trailer shot.
I'm speechless.
Is?
Damn. Guess they blew it up themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It was just so bad. I thought I could handle that one, too. I thought I could handle it. It was just so bad. It was just so bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then yeah, all broken.
Ewoks?
We're gonna get to see an entire planet made of Wookiees in episode 3.
Cool.
Yeah.
Including Chewbacca.
Yep. A little Chewy backstory.
Trying to figure out
how is this as believable for everyone else as it isn't for me? It works, but it doesn't.
I buy it. I mean,
yeah, I buy it. I mean, you could tell that Darth Maul knew that he was thinking something. And then he does his thing. I mean,
it all goes back to how so many new ideas and were for the capability of what the Jedi what the Jedi is capable of. So many new ideas for that were established in this movie that it was hard to keep up with it.
That leap thing right there, it's the same type of leap that happened in Empire Strikes Back with Luke.
Yeah,
that leap for me was totally believable. The fast running thing you had never quite seen before way at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But that right there is really good.
And I bought that. Mm. That death scene.
Yeah, it
did. That was cool.
Well, now you guys show up.
Did we honestly need that?
Williams' music here is beautiful, man.
Yeah. It's a bit too much.
It was obviously a wink back at the camera, but you know.
Well, it's like that scene in episode 2 where Obi-Wan says, "Why do I think you're going to be the death of me?" I mean, it kind of works and it kind of doesn't, and
it's certainly not quite as bad. I like this scene right here.
Yeah, I do too.
Yes. Because we really did not get to see Frank Oz do his stuff until just now.
Uh-huh.
And it is so profoundly special to me to, like, get to watch a scene like this where, you know... Because, I just remember my jaw dropping the floor when I found out that, you know, Yoda was going to be completely computer-generated in episode 2 because, I mean...
I'm sure Frank Oz was the same way.
Yeah, really.
Well, no, you know what? He was one... I mean, if you remember watching the documentaries, Frank Oz was one of the first people to say, "You don't need me."
No, yeah.
Do you not remember that?
Yeah. But I mean, I'm sure. You know, he wasn't quite ready for the just to be fired.
Yeah.
He's not fired.
Right. But I mean,
he's completely. I think Frank Oz, to a degree, is embracing.
No. I mean, the you idea. Can tell in all the documentaries when they bring back the original guys. And, you know, like the guy who did the original creatures and characters from the first one and stuff like that. Yeah. I mean, you know, you can tell that, you know, they know that their time is past and that what's there now is totally amazing. And you know, they can do more now than they could have ever done by themselves. Yeah. So I think
I like this certain dead music too.
I like this moment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It works. Mm-hmm. That's probably Jake White's most honest delivery of a line. Is what will happen to me now?
So I've heard this in a lot of trailers too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think this was from the theatrical trailer. I think.
Yeah, Yoda's
line in the Jedi teaser. Council was the teaser trailer. Yeah. Now, Brian, I want to know. I'm really proud of the fact that I don't know if you know this or not, but the children's choir here is actually the Emperor's theme with a spin put on it. If you listen to it, I read that somewhere. I think it was in Film Score Monthly. That was a really obvious.
I can hear it now.
But no,
we haven't gotten to it, but I can hear it.
Listen to the children's choir. And
I like the music to the scene.
I do.
I just don't know what the point of the scene is.
Well you know, it's the big ending after the whole thing.
Yeah, and
it's a combination of the first movie and the third one.
Exactly. But I mean, what's this little, like, electricity ball?
What is that? It's true. It's like...
It's the Orb of Peace.
The Orb of Peace. It sounds just stupid enough to fit into this movie.
Oh,
yeah. Wow. I like Boss Nass's animation when she hands him the whatever the hell that is.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
I like how this music segues into the main theme, though. That's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
You get to look at all the characters?
Yeah, you do. It's very reminiscent of New Hope.
Very reminiscent.
Woo. Yeah.
Okay.
I haven't laughed that hard in a long time,
Brian.
No, well, you know, let's let Brian do the because. But what you know, this is when we reflect, is it not? On
yes. Who's reflecting first?
I'd like to reflect first.
Brian, okay. Answer
no, we
first.
Should. We need to let Brian go last.
Brian, because you go too long, Brian.
Yes.
Hanks.
No, it's not Brian's too long.
No,
it's
I
just.
Know, Brian, I'm straight
with just.
I know.
We love you, Brian.
Okay, Hanks, go.
No.
This concludes.
No, Dave. You know what? You go first. You go first, Dave.
Oh,
you
okay. Go first. Okay, I'm going first.
You go first.
2 hours later.
I mean, it's not a crappy movie. But
it's crap.
but the best way if we've ever started a closing statement. It's a crappy movie.
You know, and I mean my only hope is that when you see all three of them together that it kind of flows and works. You know, the prequels, when you see all three of them together, that kind of flows and works. But, I mean, you know, there's some good setup that happens. Of course, there's some brilliant ideas. Of course, there's brilliant designs. Of course, there's brilliant music. And, you know, of course, brilliant visual effects. And there's some good setup that happens here. And, you know, setting up is not exactly going to be the most action-packed, coolest stuff out there, you know. But but after seeing the second one, we can see that maybe a little more setup needs to happen. Anyway, overall, I didn't hate the movie. But it definitely has its moments where you just have to just crack up over the stupidity. So,
I think we
highlighted pretty well.
Yeah. So, but it does have some great moments. So some of my most favorite movie moments in this movie, especially with the fight scene and stuff like that, and some of the ideas. So, I guess that's my overall take. I didn't hate it, but wow.
Yeah. Hey. It's not crap, but no. I'm just gonna reflect.
See, Keira Knightley.
Yeah.
Along with Sofia Coppola, who I forgot was part of that, too.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Good
I forgot she was a part of that.
That's hardcore.
Okay, anyway.
I just like to reflect again on just how important this movie was to us at the time.
Yes, those
two. You know, I mean, and what it did for us, but what it didn't do for us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just the fact that, you know, it's over with, and, you know, the wait is over, and, you know, we're just, all we're doing now is just waiting for the third one to come out just so we can more or less just be over with it. I mean, it's not that we don't care anymore, it's just that, I mean, come on, you know? Mm. And, you know, but, you know, what I was thinking this afternoon, I was listening, you know, and Dave, do you not remember how this is like one of the first movies that you and I more or less bonded over? Mm. I mean, I thought
that word too much, but yeah.
No, that was kind of, I thought that was kind of interesting because, yeah. Like, you know, Dave and I had not known each other very well or very long when this movie first came out, but, like, through a mutual friend, we began to get to know each other a little bit better, and one of the things we just found ourselves discussing more than anything was movies and this movie in particular. So I just thought that was kind of cool that, I mean, yeah, you know, Dave's cringing over here, you know, but I just thought that was interesting when I thought of that this afternoon. That, you know, this is like. And, you know, and this brought to my attention the idea of, you know, am I a Star Wars geek or am I a film lover? You know what I'm saying? This kind of brought that balance to my life. You know, it was like, well, am I into this? Am I feeling the intense feelings that I'm feeling about this movie because I'm a Star Wars geek, or am I a film lover? And that's when I really, really realized, you know, what film is to me. It's kind of interesting. I know it's kind of a cliche, but that's more or less how I began to feel around the time that this movie came out. You know, I had no idea where the hell I was in my life. I had just graduated high school and was falling away from the idea of going to college. Anyway, but, you know, okay, Brian, take the floor.
when we started to break into high school and college, I knew it was really trouble.
I'm going to try to keep this brief. I said at the beginning of my episode 2 review that I can't look objectively at these movies. Right. That, and I still feel that way. I mean, yes. I do love all of these movies. And I remember very vividly, as I said at the beginning, I was absolutely exhausted watching this for the first time. It was my first midnight show. I've since had more where I've gotten used to them. I was extremely tired and I was going to just come home, write my review and all of that stuff, and decided now I really should get some sleep. And so I actually wrote it when I first woke up, and one of the things I found over time, the more I watched this movie, is my opinion really did not change that much, and I still feel the same way. I mean, I was joking about a lot of this stuff, and, you know, I do feel that this movie has a lot of flaws, but overall, I mean, I still think it's a very good movie. I mean, you can't dismiss this film on its flaws because of the fact that there's so much stuff on the technical side that is just so brilliant about this.
Do you guys realize that this came out a month after Columbine?
Yeah. Never really thought of it, but
for some reason that occurred to me on the way over there. But anyway, are we done?
I wasn't.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't
I'm quite done.
I'm sorry. I'm
just
sorry.
Just keep going. Right? Really? Yeah, we're already
we're into the menu.
I mean, we've done this before on AI, but
and another science fiction.
I'm gonna try to keep it brief. I'm gonna try to keep it brief. Shit, Haynes, maybe we thought.
Good night, everybody.
Well,
Brian, you're
I'm at a loss.
I'm sorry.
Okay, let's just go ahead and wrap it up.
Truly,
I'm Brian Scuttle.
I'm sorry.
I'm Brian Scuttle.
I'm Ronnie Haynes.
I'm
bash and shame.
I'm a piece of shit.
Right, but when you record the rest of your stuff,
make sure
to throw something in about the breath, Darth Vader breath.
Oh my god!
Thing at the end of it.
I am such a piece of shit. I am so sorry.
So let's do that one more time so we get a good cut.
Yeah.
And it's so you can cut in your stuff.
Really? Go ahead.
Go ahead, Brian. Go ahead. Say, I'm Brian Scuttle. Do your thing. Say it.
I'm Brian Scuttle.
And I'm really sorry that I'm Ronnie Haynes.
And they must.
And this is Yahoo's with Mike Funkin.
Okay, fine.